Hello, I'm Pastor Josh here again, hosting a podcast for our roundtable discussions and an audio series for Bethany leaders and development as they work through Grudem's 40 doctrinal questions. This time, we're actually talking about a specific topic that isn't in line with those 40 questions, the topic of evangelism. And I have two guests with me. I have Jimmy Houck, who is our outreach minister here, works with both missions and then local outreach, and then also our elder Marty Roth, who's been involved in outreach here at Bethany for a number of years. And we're going to just work through this topic of evangelism together. Before we dive into a few questions that I have for both of you, I just want to share a little bit of my passion for evangelism if people aren't familiar with our story. My family was at a point in our lives back in the 90s where we weren't attending church and we had neighbors who went to Bethany. They were very cautiously but graciously inviting us to come to church and were praying for us. They had Sunday school class praying for us. We came once. My parents didn't like the experience and they swore an oath that we would never come back, but there was a Sunday school class praying. They continued to befriend us. And then there were circumstances in our lives, a death in the family and encountering God's word that drew us back to those neighbors and to Bethany and found out, well, there was a lot that they had been doing that we weren't aware of or even responsive to that ended up leading us to make a decision, my parents to follow Christ, to change in career, seminary, missions, and they became missionaries to Africa. Then full circle, here I am back working at the church that my parents swore an oath we'd never go back to, and I get to work here. So you never know where those seeds planted will end up. So that's a personal story just of my passion, even for evangelism here at this church. But I want to just give you guys an opportunity. When we talk about the topic of evangelism, you've talked about it a lot. It's a particular passion, but I'd love to hear some of your favorite passages on evangelism and what makes it a critical part of following Jesus together for you in your mind.
Yeah, I think a couple come to mind for me. I think I always like to start with anything that's going to remind me that when I'm having conversations with somebody about the gospel and specifically with those that don't currently know Christ, a reminder of who is going to be doing the work. One that comes to mind is Ezekiel 36. It says, "And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." And so passages like that for me are just reminders that I can't do any of that. It's helpful for me as I contemplate having conversations with those that don't know Christ that I'm going to be faithful to share the gospel, but it's not on me to breathe new life into somebody, right? Like that is a work that only God can do. And so that is certainly passages like that that are going to remind me of the fact that God's doing the work are always super helpful for me.
I was thinking about this question and I have a story from the Old Testament that is just powerful, inspiring to me, probably just because I've been reading it recently, 2 Kings. And then there's a verse in Mark that speaks to me. The story is the story of Naaman. He's a captain of the king of Aram. He is a Gentile and he's a leper. By God's grace, he has someone who is a slave girl from Israel that speaks to him about Elisha, the prophet, and encourages him to seek healing from Elisha and ultimately from Yahweh. And the story goes that Naaman goes and finds Elisha and is given a task to bathe himself in the River Jordan 7 times, which really infuriates him because it's beneath his dignity to simply bathe as if he hasn't been doing that. And yet he does, finally. It takes some time, but his servants plead with him like this. They're like, just try it, basically. And he does, and he's healed, and he essentially becomes a Yahweh worshiper. I think that is such a powerful and inspiring story in so many different directions. One, the power of a witness. This girl, I don't think she has a name in the story, and yet she has been remembered for thousands of years. And she witnessed to somebody who had probably been pretty oppressive and not a light to her life. So it's like the ultimate picture of loving your enemy. And further, the amazing way that God can save anybody from anywhere is proven in that story. And there's so many other things. And then just a simple verse, but is really powerful to me, I think because of the illustration, comes from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 17. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me and I will will make you become fishers of men. I love that imagery because to me, evangelism is so often like fishing. Whenever you go fishing, you don't catch a fish every time you drop a line in the pond, but for most of us, there's a lot of casting, there's a lot of dropping the line, and you never know exactly when the fish is going to hit. But you keep going, and you learn. There is strategy, but it's not all about strategy.
Right. Sometimes there's a little bit too much thinking about, I need a different pole, I need different bait.
That's
definitely
right.
The pole. I need a better pole, more expensive pole.
That's right. And then sometimes it's just providence. You know, I remember going fishing up at Denny's pond. It was ice fishing, and unbeknownst to him, most of the fish had died because of something that happened with the weather. And it's like, well, it doesn't matter how good of our fishing pole it would have been. It wouldn't have mattered like what our strategy was. It was like, it wasn't going to happen. And then of course, like Jesus has the amazing story in his life where he says, hey, why don't you just drop the net in the other side of the boat? And then boom, the biggest catch they've ever had in their lives. So it works the other way too.
What I sense from both of you is evangelism, which is this very practical topic that deals with one of the most important aspects to our lives of actually how we impact these people who will live in eternity relationally, you know, for their eternal fate. And it's a huge central piece of what we're here left on earth to do is our mission, making disciples to the glory of God. How much of that really is built upon what we've had past discussions about in these doctrinal questions related to God's sovereignty, related to the work of the Holy Spirit and the trusting in the inspiration of the scriptures and everything that you're just responding with reminds me of how foundational those doctrinal realities are to how you have a healthy view of a passion for and engagement with evangelism. You know, that story of Naaman and the little girl,
preached on that, haven't you? I feel like I've heard you preach on that.
I have had
passage.
The privilege of preaching on it once. Yeah, it's such a humbling and beautiful passage. Mm. What you were sharing there, Marty, both of those ideas of how much God's power is on display. One of the passages that come to mind is 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2, how Paul describes how it's not the wisdom of man, it's actually the weakness of God or the foolishness of God is stronger than men, wiser than men. In fact, he's pleased to choose really nobodies, as it were, to show that the power belongs to him. Paul considers himself a nobody. And I think that recognition of ourselves as nobodies and what God's rescued us out of and who he delights to use to show his power to save in the little girl in Naaman's story. And you look at the Old Testament, you see the story of Jonah comes to mind of these radical, amazing conversions or people who change from, okay, whoa, I need to take Yahweh seriously. They're kind of pathetic examples of evangelism, as it were, but they're so dynamic in their exemplification of God's power to save. And so I think that gives me encouragement to what you guys are sharing. Whenever I feel weak, feel small, feel like, what am I doing here? That actually is part of what prepares me to be qualified as someone to show God's the one who did all of this. And I think that that's just a reminder to me.
And I think there's an extension of that, which is the work that's going to happen in our hearts as we share, right? So we want to be faithful in such a way that God can use us to share the gospel with others, but also recognizing how he's going to use that act to transform my heart. I actually had 1 Corinthians 2 down as kind of the other passage that's helpful for me from an evangelism standpoint. And I need regular reminders for myself of like, I'm weak and I need Jesus. And I honestly, I don't know if there's another spiritual discipline that so quickly for me reveals my weakness.
Absolutely.
Right? Like as I have a conversation with somebody, as I begin to see there may be an opportunity for me to share the gospel, like it is very, very apparent to me that I'm weak and I need Jesus right now in this moment.
Yeah, the passages of John, and even especially when you see Jesus and his encounters with people who need the gospel, both in chapter 2 and 3, when he's really confronting the heart of man with the need to be reborn. I'm reminded of the old examples of pastors who are learning how to preach or learning how to evangelize to be taken out to a graveyard and say, okay, go for it, you know, and then preaching and then saying, okay, well, it's like, hey, preach louder. Use better words. You know, it probably was your outline and realizing, okay, no, there's something way more significant that's needed when we're talking about bringing someone from death to life. And just a few verses later in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul is talking to the Corinthians because they have Paulos and Paul and sort of the tension of celebrity leaders. And this is my preferred leader and this one's better. And Paul saying, like, who's Paul or Apollos? Neither one is really anything. That's sort of a human way of thinking. And he says, look, you know, someone plants, someone waters, but God's the one who gives the growth. And the people who are the workers, they're not the change agent, as it were. They're just servants there, but the Lord's the one who's actually bringing the conversion of evangelism and the ongoing growth. And we get to be part of it, which is a great privilege, but a humbling one, to your point. How do you answer the question, whether someone's actually posing it or just living in this way, of whether or not evangelism really is critical to the mission? You know, it's like, mm-hmm. hey, we're here following Jesus together. There's people who have a passion for evangelism. You know, there's going to be leaders who are evangelists, and that's all great. I'm not made for that. I'm not like that. I'm here to do church. I'm here to be a leader and to just serve here. Following Jesus together doesn't have to include evangelism for me. How do you answer that question, whether they're saying it or just living that way, you know, when we all kind of drift into an isolation from this idea of evangelism?
Yeah, I think a passage that is shaping, and this is a helpful start to the conversation, and I think is Romans chapter 10. I'll start in verse 14. The Apostle Paul says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. You know, I think that is often a passage used primarily for missions, and I'm comfortable with that as the missions pastor here. I love that passage for global missions mobilization. But I think the truth is that there's an underlying principle that people can't believe in our master who is worthy of their belief and worthy of their faith unless they hear the gospel. And the truth is that there are a lot of people living and walking around us here in Peoria that have never had the true gospel explained to them. I know that because I ask them and they say, no one has told me what the gospel is. Or sometimes I might ask them, you know, if you ask somebody like, have you ever heard that Jesus died for your sins? Most people probably say yes. They don't necessarily know what that means. Maybe even that phrase is beyond what they've heard. But if you say, have you heard that Jesus died on the cross? Have you heard that Jesus is God's son? Yes. But most people have not had it explained to them what the Bible says about their real ultimate problem and how much God has loved them in solving that problem through Christ, and how faith and what faith is essential to receiving that benefit from Christ. Most people have not had that laid out to them. So a lot of people have had some sort of gospel. And so some people think they've heard the gospel, but they haven't. Some people just don't want to talk necessarily. But I would say almost every time I go out sharing, like almost every time, there's at least someone who I'm going to talk to. And I can ask the question, I was like, has anybody explained to you why Jesus died on the cross? And like what that has to do for you? Or has anybody explained to you what Christianity is all about? That's another simple way to ask it. And almost every time there's going to be somebody that says no. And then a lot of times I'll follow that up. I was like, would you like me to share with you? And they say, yes. You know, and statistically speaking, I believe it's over 60% of people, when asked if they would be open to a spiritual conversation with a stranger, say yes. The vast majority of the people around you, if you're not like stopping them and interrupting them from something they really need to do and being rude, are open to a conversation about spiritual things.
It does bring to mind something that happens more rare than I wish, which is people trying to evangelize me with the gospel, you know, where it's like, oh, they're trying to share the gospel with me. I love when that happens, but it doesn't happen that often. Or sometimes when you start to engage with sharing the gospel with someone, they're like, oh, are you?
I know what you're doing.
I know what you're doing right now. I can remember one time we were, you know, we're involved in our HOA to try to just build relationships with our neighbors and to get to know them, to know their story, like we've been talking about, and also to have opportunity to share what we believe is the greatest hope that there is in Christ. And one of those responsibilities relates to running a block party. And I was going to get materials from the district to try to block off the street. And the guy helping me, you know, he was asking, hey, what are you doing? Are you having a party or something? Yeah, I'm trying to do this. And I started to share some things. And I was kind of asking him about his spiritual life. And he goes, oh, I totally get what you're doing. He's like, I'm a Christian. I go to this church in town. Uh-huh. He's like, you're trying to be a witness tonight. He's like, let me pray for you. And those kind of moments where I'm like timidly starting to work on it. And all of a sudden it's like the Lord gives this little Gideon encouragement, like, hey, you're not alone and what you're doing really matters. So just a fun story that brought to mind. I hope we're sharing. When Easter was coming around, I was talking to the guy at the gas station and said, hey, do you have anywhere to go for Easter? And he said, no, I'm actually not working. And invited him to Bethany. He's like, yeah, you're not the first person to do that already. You know, I've already been invited, which is a great encouragement.
And hopefully he was okay with that. I think the way that people are invited can be heartwarming to them.
So let me ask a few questions, and these just might be swifter responses, but one would be, do you have a favorite way to share the gospel? Just something simple, like if we have leaders who are like, well, sometimes I kind of forget, or I need something to hang, like a peg to hang this idea on. Do you have a favorite way, either a verse or a Romans road or a track or a way that you like to do it?
Yeah, happy to share. And I would even just briefly go back to your previous question, because I think it connects to this as well, is, you know, I think for somebody that's struggling with, I don't know if this is for me, I think a couple things that's helpful is, one, what do you think it looks like? So I think oftentimes we have in our mind, if I do evangelism, it has to look like this, or I see somebody doing evangelism over here, and I don't know that I can do that. So I think my encouragement would be, for sure, as you listen to this and as you hear ways that work for us, that doesn't mean that this needs to be the form for you. A couple things for me that's helpful, I think one that's very relational and one that's kind of less relational. So one for me is that, like, I love our theme for Onward Together this year, which is Know Their Story. I just enjoy getting to know people and just asking questions and getting to know them and really showing them how much you care for them by just continuing to know them more and more. And in my experience, it's really rare that while that's happening, there's not opportunities to connect it to the gospel, right? It's just rare where people aren't sharing struggles in their life or things they see in this world that doesn't seem right, right? And just things like that, where it's easy to make a connection to the gospel. And maybe it's not an opportunity to go into a 15-minute presentation of the gospel. You know, maybe it's a couple minutes of where you share a piece of the gospel and then you can follow up later with it. But I would say when I have the ability to sit down with somebody and get to know them, that's for sure kind of my preference. And then the other thing that I would share is, I think in the day and age that we live in, we have access to so many awesome resources. So I think giving away books is a great way to be faithful in evangelism. And so that can look a bunch of different ways. I'm looking at our evangelism toolkit here. I've used a book called Original Jesus by Carl Lafferton. It's a really, really small book. I almost call it it's kind of a cross between a track and a book. And I've used it when people come into our home to do stuff, right? So whether that's they're doing some electrical work or some plumbing work or something like that, I might throw a tip in the book and just say, hey, I don't know if you've ever considered who Jesus is and what he's done, but I'd love to give you this book, right? So super simple. We also love to give books out anytime we're giving out a Christmas present, you know. So if the kids' teachers, right, we're maybe getting them something small for Christmas, and Julie and I are going to sit down and say, hey, what book should we give, you know, the teachers this year, right? And so I think that's something where even if you would say to yourself, man, having evangelistic conversations is really, really hard for me, there's still ways that you can be faithful to the calling in a way that's not going to the street corner and street preaching or the, you know, whatever it is, you know, whatever the most challenging form of evangelism that you can think of is. So those would be two areas that are helpful for me.
That's very helpful. What I love, Marty, is what you mentioned as being a helpful way to approach sharing the gospel is just genuinely loving the people in front of you. It reminds me of when you preached on 1 Corinthians 13 at the Onward start of just listening and how that's the starting point, is like understanding the love of God and then genuinely loving the person, which I guess to your point on evangelism doesn't always look the same, it's actually an interesting thought that evangelism doesn't always mean the people who are the best talkers. Sometimes it does mean people who are the best listeners. And obviously it leads to sharing, to the passage that you shared in Romans, but being a good listener can make you a really effective witness. You're thoughtful about it and it flows from from genuine love. Thanks for some of those ideas. Jimmy, any simple, practical ways that you like to remember how to share the gospel?
Yeah. So as far as just some tools that I find helpful, one is there's a three circles model that you can look up on YouTube. It's a very common way of sharing the gospel. The idea is you start with just describing the world as it is for almost anybody you talk to. And most people recognize that they're in a broken world in some way. And you reference back to the fact that we know it's broken because we have an idea of a better world. And then you talk about how the attempts that we use to try to get back to that original created world don't work. But then the third circle is the coming of Christ, the work of Christ, the need to trust in Christ to bring back to that which all of our hearts long for. And so that's a really quick overview. It's meant to be kind of drawn out simply, and you can add scripture verses to it, but I think it's a helpful model. I also think just a simple bridge model is really great. Pastor Rich uses that. I think that that's excellent. And then also this really was helpful for me when I first came here. I remember Pastor Joel Smith used to be on staff here, and he did some teaching on the gospel. And I remember it was the first time I'd thought about the categories of God, man, Christ, response, and then eternity. Just five categories that my mind can kind of move through. And I've synthesized in that my mind to just think always when I'm talking to somebody is like, they need to know why they need a gospel. They need to know what the gospel is, and they need to know why that's a good gospel for them. So just three different things. So one would be like three circles, great, bridge, really good. Also a model, you can easily find that online on YouTube or something, people doing the bridge. And then thirdly, just the categories of God, man, Christ, response, and eternity are helpful categories to kind of flow through.
I think one thing that helps me keep it at the forefront is that evangelism is happening, and not just from followers of Christ. Evangelism's happening every day, all the time. People are sharing versions of their own gospel that sometimes are a secular kind of gospel, sometimes they're an alternative religion, but that's happening all around. And just remembering that, and even when we're watching a movie or even an advertisement or having a discussion with someone, you know, being able to discern, oh, I understand the gospel that's being presented to me right now. Yep. And seeing that, recognizing, wait a second, this isn't like a really rare, weird thing that happens sometimes. It's going on all the time, and recognizing, whoa, there's a lot of action on the field and I need to jump in. I have a few more questions that I want to get to, but one that I didn't prep you for, but I'd love to just hear from you. Sometimes people can get discouraged and they go, this is a church that doesn't evangelize. You know, there's no evangelism happening. Like, I'm looking and no one evangelizes. Mm. Maybe to your point, Marty, it's like they don't see people doing exactly what they're experiencing. But if a Bethany leader is going, do we do evangelism here? Like, how does that happen? Mm. What would you say? Like, have you seen or experienced people doing evangelism here at Bethany? And what are some ways that can help our leaders understand how it's happening from your perspective? Because you probably would be, you know, on the front lines to see it the most.
Yeah, I think a couple things that I would say, and this probably connects to conversations that Jimmy and I enjoy having on a regular basis, but the connection between organic evangelism and then some type of programmatic evangelism, right? And so I think our thought process is that I think the end goal is that, you know, just like everybody's just like thinking about it on a regular basis and it just organically happens. But we recognize that we need help, right? And so we do have several ministries here at Bethany that are really focused in on going out and sharing the gospel. Jimmy mentioned one relative to the food pantry, but there's others as well. And I'll maybe let Jimmy share those. But at a high level, that's kind of how we would think about it, is like the end goal is just like you're doing it just throughout the course of your life. But just recognizing our weakness, our need to have structures in our life as well.
Some other options for people to get involved in, you know, if you're like, hey, I want to do evangelism, I want to be reaching the lost, but I don't know how. One would be our Good News Club that meets on Monday afternoons. It's a really incredible opportunity to care for kids that go to Ridgeview Elementary School. We've got a great team that does that. And there have been various people who've been involved in Good News Clubs for literally decades. Secondly, our soccer ministry is a great place, and you don't need to play soccer. You could do babysitting. We have a wonderful couple in our church. I would say their names if they wouldn't be embarrassed by being honored publicly. But we have a wonderful older couple that has made cookies and treats for the soccer ministry. So there's a lot of ways to help. The soccer ministry is a neat one because it's more of a kind of a front porch ministry. So there's not a lot of explicit gospel presentation, but the entire purpose is for the gospel. And so they, people come, they build relationships, they play soccer, they do game nights and Friendsgiving meals once a year and other things. But the purpose is to have a porch, a front porch idea to build a relationship for bringing them into the church. The other thing I would say is just to encourage the saints is that there are so many people doing evangelism all the time. And it's just people, in the same way that people don't tell you about all the things that they're praying about, it doesn't mean that they don't have a prayer list. Or like, just because, you know, you look out to the congregation and you're not sure what people are reading in the Bible, it would be an incorrect assumption that nobody's reading their Bible. And in the same way that just because you don't know the stories of evangelism doesn't mean that they're not happening. I've just been really blessed by being in this role that I think as the outreach minister, people are, they know I want to talk about it. And so they come up and talk to me. But time and time again, I've been blown away and encouraged by people that I've known for a really long time, and I didn't know they were so passionate about evangelism, but they are, and they're doing it. And they're doing it quietly, sweetly, with their neighbors, with their friends, with their, you know, the people that they exercise with. So there's that. The other thing I would say is a lot of times we don't know about people's evangelism because people don't count it as evangelism. So what I mean is, like, you have a grandmother who is telling her granddaughter about Jesus at bedtime. That's evangelism. Sometimes that could be like the only place that granddaughter is hearing the gospel because her mom and dad don't know Jesus, even though their grandmother does. Other times, even when I tell my 5-year-old, you know, 7- and 8-year-old about the gospel, that's still evangelism. So that counts. The other thing I would say is, like, Awana is one of the most significant, powerful, wonderful places where evangelism is happening all the time. It's wonderful.
That's where I first actually heard the gospel explained, was in Awana.
Praise God. Yeah. And I think that's so many people's stories. And it's one of the things I celebrate. Like, I'm so thankful for this church because, like, I know that there are adults who love my kids and tell them about Jesus.
There's many reasons to be encouraged. I think even just hearing you share, it's a good reminder of how we can encourage each other, asking for prayer and sharing some of those stories with one another. The Onward campaign of Pray the Miracle, Know Their Story has been good to initiate some of those, but as leaders, just to continue to keep those at the front of our mind is helpful. You know, evangelism is happening organically. It's happening in all these ways that sometimes we overlook. I'll just say it's happening often on Sundays. And
we
forget that sometimes people have prayed and worked with, you know, whether it's a neighbor, coworker, or a loved one that only comes to church every once in a while. And here they are, they've come for the first time. So yes, you know, hopefully the gospel is being explained and proclaimed in the service. But before and after, there's these moments of conversation where someone's starting to work through that. And I think it would be a very foolish assumption for us as leaders to come on Sunday and think, okay, now we don't have to do evangelism. Now we're doing church, because there are dozens of people, many more, but definitely dozens that I can encounter and observe people talking with that don't know Christ, are not following Christ, and are there considering sometimes. Sometimes they're there and they don't want to be, but sometimes they're there and really thinking through, you know, what does it mean to follow Jesus? Sometimes they're confused every Sunday. That's the truth. So I think as leaders, just recognizing what's going on a Sunday that sometimes we're not aware of because we're focused on a ministry task.
And it's so good to be sensitive to the fact that there may be people there who don't know the Lord, to not assume that everybody that is sitting next to us knows the gospel and knows Christ. There are people, especially a bigger church like ours, that they could be pulling in out of nowhere for the first time in years, because they've seen this big building for the last 5 years and they said, you know, let's go check it out.
Right. And not assuming, you know, but asking good questions and listening to your point, Marty, and just saying, okay, well, they're here. Let me ask some questions, and developing the skill of asking questions rather than assuming and feeling awkward that this person, so you have to pretend that they're further along spiritually rather than, and answering questions for them rather than just asking open-ended, very gracious, gentle questions and letting them share with you. Sometimes we're checking for a gospel pulse. We so badly want there to be, because experiencing the feeling of, I don't know if this person understands the gospel, it drives us to a desperation. All of a sudden we're like, oh, this person needs Jesus, not me. Mm. And if we can get a gospel pulse, like, okay, you know, maybe I have something to work with here, but recognizing, no, it's always the Lord, and asking those questions and being prepared to say, well, maybe I might be in a situation where I desperately need the Holy Spirit to work in the Bethany hallway, which is always the case. Let me wrap up with this. What do you think leaders can do specifically, you know, deacons, deaconesses, elders to nurture that culture of evangelism with each other and then here as a church family? What are practical things for leaders to keep in mind that's unique to us that really can help us in that culture of evangelism?
Yeah, a couple things come to mind for me. One that I recognized kind of early in my life here at Bethany was just my need for reminders in evangelism. Early on, we had a ministry called Evangelism Explosion, and I got involved in the ministry, and I recognized pretty quickly just how different my recognition of gospel opportunities was, because I was routinely getting together with others that were also sharing their faith. And so when we had these EE semesters, I just recognized my faithfulness to God in this endeavor was different because I had something in my life that regularly reminded me. I get the pleasure of getting to connect with Jimmy often. And so like that's a regular reminder for me. But I would encourage others, what structures can I put in my life where I can have regular reminders? The other thing that comes to my mind, and it connects back to what Jimmy was sharing, where there's way more evangelism that's happening than what we know about. And so my encouragement would be anything that you're doing regarding evangelism, share that within the communities that you live in. So whether that's, man, I'm just really struggling with evangelism, share that with somebody, right? Like ask somebody to pray for you. Whether that's, hey, I grabbed lunch with somebody and we didn't get to the gospel, but like I really got to know my coworker better today. Share that with somebody. Whether that's I did get to a gospel conversation, right? And it seemed like, you know, the person's heart was soft towards the gospel and it seems like God's working. Share that with somebody. And so I think the more and more that we're just regularly sharing those stories, whether they're, man, I'm struggling, or man, look what God did, I think those can be really great encouragements for us, and then I think great encouragements for those around us as well.
I love those two encouragements. I would say Matthew 9:38 is an important passage for me, and it says, therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. And so I think anybody who's especially moving into being a deacon or an elder, one of the most important things that we need to do is to lead the way in terms of prayer. You know, we're all different, but I do think to truly do more than just talking and affirming internally that prayer is a good thing, I think we need to actually have a plan. You know, I think we need to make decisions about, okay, when am I going to pray and how am I going to pray? When I was on a short-term trip recently, I was spending a lot of time with international workers, and a number of them were in closed countries or had been in closed countries. And it was so clear, 100%, like, why were they there? They were there for relationships with unbelievers that they might be a light to expand the kingdom and to build the Church of Jesus Christ. And so any single one of those workers that you asked, like, they had a list of four or five people, contacts that they were like trying to just be friends with. I remember it just struck me on that trip that wouldn't it be awesome if all adults that attend Bethany regularly, all of us had our five or six contacts that we were like just pleading with God for. And then further, that we know each other's list. You know, I'm like, for me to be able to know the list of each person in my community group, make a decision that you're going to ask who's somebody you're close to this far from God that we can pray for tonight. Does anybody have a know your story testimony tonight? So it's just questions like that, asking good questions, being a leader, setting an example. And none of us are perfect. I'm the outreach minister. I have so much more to go when it comes to evangelism. But like the most important thing to be a fisher of men is just to get in the boat and put the line in the water. That's the one thing that you can count on won't catch you a fish or a man, is if you don't put the fishing line in the water. That's the biggest thing. I was like, I kind of don't care what people are doing around here as long as they got their pole in the water.
To your point, and on this organic evangelism idea, just as leaders and in the culture of evangelism, obviously anyone listening to this podcast is likely to be very busy.
Yep.
The reason why you're in development is because you're busy doing the work of the Lord. And there's so many things that we can be involved in. And I think when you think of evangelism as this extra thing that you have to add in, even though it's good to structure and routines and everything, but when you think of it as like, okay, this extra add for whether it's people in the church or me in my own life, I think, oh, I don't have room for one more thing. It's a little bit different than recognizing, no, this is the seasoning that I put on all of this stuff. I have no room for anything more on my plate. This is the seasoning on everything in my plate. And I think recognizing, no, I don't have time for evangelism. Like, I got to go visit this person in the hospital. It's like, what are you doing there? How are you helping them see all of the witnessing opportunities and all the people that you meet in the hallway all the way through and all the way out? If you think of it as an ad, then it can be overwhelming, discouraging. When you think about it, no, this is going to season every part of my ministry. Evangelism should just run through the course of all of the current ministries that I have, that actually can elevate our quotient of true love for the world around us the way that I think Jesus would have us. Hey, thanks for coming in. A lot of our topics are focused on the head portion, but we want to keep working on the heart and hands, and this helps us a bit on that as well.
Yeah, so what a joy. Awesome.